Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, if you have a cell phone on, make sure it doesn't go off during our service. We ask that you turn it off or you turn it on a vibrate mode, as long as your vibrate mode doesn't rattle the whole building like a freight train going through. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse number 17. Stand with me, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Let me pray. Father, bless the sermon, please. God, my time is short, but you know what needs to be said. Make the two work out just right. Spirit of God, help us that we would allow you to work in our lives, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I hold in my hand today the only book that God ever wrote. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God promised to preserve His word to all generations. In other words, the Bible was penned a long time ago, but God said, I'll preserve it for you. He said in Psalm 12:7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forward. Not only did God say, I'll preserve it to make sure that all the generations have a Bible, He said, I'll inspire it. He said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know that God's Word is so powerful, He just spoke light into existence. Genesis 1:3 says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now that's awful powerful. God's Word is a powerful book. You know, this book can't be stopped. They've tried to get rid of it. They've tried to burn it. They've tried to outdate it. But that's not going to happen. The Bible is the book of books. And God's Word changes things. You know, in the Bible, there was a whale. You've all heard the story of Jonah. Did you know that God was able to change a whale to get done what He needed to get done so that Jonah would be swallowed by a whale? God's Word said to a whale, do what I tell you, and a whale obeyed. God's Word changed a dog. There was a pack of dogs that obeyed God's Word in regard to eating a wicked queen named Jezebel for her harming Elijah, the man of God. God's Word changed some fish. A fish swallowed a coin and then allowed itself to be caught when Jesus needed to pay a bill. And that's how God's Word is. God's Word can change a whale. God's Word can change a fish. God's Word can change a dog. God's Word can create light. God's Word changed some birds. There was a dove that was controlled by God by leaving Noah's ark during the flood. God's Word could control a dove. God's Word changed the sea. When the children of Israel were escaping Pharaoh and came to the Red Sea, God parted it so that they could go across on dry ground. God's Word changed a funeral one day. When Jesus' friend by the name of Lazarus had been dead for days, Jesus shows up at his graveside and he just says a few words and Lazarus comes back from the grave and comes out of his tomb. That would have been quite the funeral to be a part of. But God's Word changed it. There was a war that God's Word changed. When God's Word directed Joshua in a special way and he had victory at the Battle of Jericho, God's Word changed a city. When Jonah finally obeyed God and he preached a revival in that wicked city called Nineveh and the whole city got right with God, God's Word changes things. God's Word is so powerful that it can change dogs, it can change whales, it can change birds, it can create light, it can change a funeral, it can change, it changed the earth. When Paul and Silas were locked up in the Philippian jail, God spoke the Word and an earthquake shook that jail until the bars popped open. God's Word changed some fire one day. The great prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Elijah had been opposed by 450 false prophets of Baal, and God's word called fire down from the sky. God's word gets involved and changes fire. God's word can change water. God's word can change a whale. I got to looking in the Bible. I see stories where God's word controlled a snake. It changed an angel. It changed a river. God's word changed an army in one passage. God's word changed bread and ravens and stars and honey and wind and dust. God's word changed the blood and frogs and storms and quail and the moon. And some bones came back to life because of God's word. God's word, when you get God's word involved in something, it changes things. If you don't believe me, just take your Bible to work and lay it on your desk someday. It'll change things. People say, oh, good gravy. What's going on here? God's word changes things. But I've got to tell you something. The greatest thing that God's word changes is the lives of men and women. The life of man is one of God's main interests. And you and I ought to thank God for that. What a privilege. God wrote a book, and God wanted that book to change things. And certainly it does, and certainly it has. But God wrote a book to help man so that man could be changed. And we, did you know the Bible says that mankind is the apple of God's eye? God wrote a book called the Bible, and He said, I'm going to use that book, and I want to help man. I want to change man for the better. I want to make things good for man. And so God wrote the book called the Bible. You know, many men through history can testify of how God's Word changed their life. I don't know if you've ever read it, but in Mark chapter 5, there's a story of a man called the Maniac of Gadara. He was running wild in some tombs. He was demon-possessed, running naked, a mongrel of a man, never bathed. His hair was nasty. He was filthy. He was putrid. He smelled bad. Everybody was afraid of him. You know what happened? Jesus, the walking Word of God, came in contact with him, and all that had to happen is that Jesus and this man spoke. And the Bible says in Mark 5:6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. That man's life was changed. You say, why? Because Jesus and he spoke, and the Word of God changes man. There's a fellow by the name of Zacchaeus. He lived in Jericho. He was a publican. He was a public official, if you will. He was a very small man. And one day, Jesus was passing through town. Zacchaeus was short enough that he could not see Jesus because of the crowd of people. So he climbed up in a tree. And the Bible says that Jesus saw Zacchaeus up the tree. Zacchaeus saw Jesus. Jesus speaks to him. And that man gets born again right on the street, right in that crowd. And the Bible says in Luke 19:9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation came into this house. You see, the maniac that was running in the tombs, God's word changed his life. But wait a minute, a very dignified public official met Jesus and heard the word of God, and it changed his life as well. There's a man by the name, they called him Saul, later to be called Paul. Saul of Tarsus, one day, he was there when a man in the church got stoned to death. That man's name was Stephen. Stephen had not done anything wrong. A bunch of people took stones and they stoned Stephen. And this man by the name of Saul was there. He watched it happen. But one day, Saul was walking down a road called the Damascus Road. And while there, he met God. He met Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Acts 9:5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And what happens here is a man named Saul, who was a church persecutor, gets renamed Paul, and he becomes the greatest author in the New Testament. What happened? Hey, and so you know, Saul was a religious man that needed to be changed by the religious one, Jesus Christ. I see that God's Word can change fish, it can change dogs, it can change the water, it can change the sun, but there's nothing more spectacular than watching the never-dying, ever-living Word of God get into the heart of a man, or get into the heart of a woman, and begin to change them from the inside out. Hey, what medicine can't do, God can do. What the doctor can't figure out, God can figure out. Hey, what a psychologist can't fix on the inside of a mind, hey, the Word of God can fix. God fixed the maniac of Gadara. God fixed Zacchaeus. God changed Saul of Tarsus to the point that he was called Paul. There's a man by the name of the Philippian jailer, a security guard, if you will. He had this Paul and a fella of Paul's named Silas. They were locked up. And all of a sudden, after being locked up, an earthquake comes, and God makes it so that Paul and Silas can get out of their jail or out of their prison. And that night, the Bible says, this jailer, he was so affected by what God did for Paul and Silas, he gets born again and his whole household. In Acts 16:30 it says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Listen, here's a security guard that God's word changed his life. A public official met Jesus, it changed his life. Zacchaeus, a short man, his life was changed after coming in contact with the Word of God. Peter was a man who was a fisherman. Peter was from Galilee. He was a tough man. He was a fisherman, and Jesus comes by, and the Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 18 and 19, it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Tell you what happens. Peter's life gets changed, and Peter goes from being a fisher of fish to a fisher of men, and he becomes a preacher, and he starts serving God. How? Because he came in contact with the Word of God that can cause a whale to swallow a Jonah, a Word of God that can cause an earthquake to break Paul out of a prison, a Word of God that can be spoken and the stars can be flung into the sky, the Word of God that can be muttered by God Himself and the ocean can part, and the Word of God that can change lives. Hey, I've seen the Word of God do a lot of things, but there's nothing more spectacular than watching the book that God wrote change a human being, make them into a better person, do something fantastic. Matthew was a tax collector. God saved him. You talk about a tough changeover, being with the IRS and getting to be a Baptist through God's Word. There's a miracle for you. There was a woman that was at a well, and she had had five husbands, and God's Word came along, revealed to her her sin, and God changes her. There was a lame man at the pool of Bethesda, and he ended up getting healed. There are so many stories in the Bible. You could start in the book of Genesis and make your way all the way through the book of Revelation, and you'll find man and woman over and over and over again making contact with the Word of God and the Word of God changing them. Oh, you can start in the book of Genesis and go through the book of Revelation, and you're going to find God's Word changing the wind and changing the dust and changing the frogs, able to change a storm. God's Word that could change the frogs or the moon or the sun or the water. God's Word could change the air. Hey, God's Word changes things. God's Word changes men. You say, well, why? Why? How? How in the world does God's Word do that? Well, let me make it real simple. God's Word can do that because it's God's Word. This is God's Word. In John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And let me explain. This is not man's Word. This is God's Word. This is not just somebody's Word. It's God's Word. This book right here, it's not an angel's Word. It's God's Word. This right here, and everybody look right at me. Marcus, go ahead and go. And then when you come in the back door, if you will, so you don't interrupt us, okay? And I'm not mad at you. I just want everybody's attention up here, and everybody's watching you go to the bathroom, okay? So you just go ahead and go out. Now, look right back at me. This book changes lives, and I'll tell you why. Because it wasn't written by man. It wasn't written by an angel. It was written by God. This is not the disciples' Word. It's God's Word. And it's not just a God's Word. It's the God's Word. I don't, you know, people say, well, just serve the God of your choice. Fooey on that. There is a Jehovah God, and I'm going to serve that God. And I have to tell you something, folks. We're so caught up today in being politically correct, we're trying to shove the real God right out of the picture. I am not going to be politically correct. I believe in Jehovah God, the God of this book. And you say, why and how does God's Word change lives? It does it because it is God's Word. It can change lives. You say, why? Well, the Bible says it's quick. Let me explain. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." You said the word quick. What does that mean? It means it's alive. It's alive. This is a living book. It's alive. This book gives life. It is life. That Jesus was the walking Word of God. This book is a real book, and this book is alive, and this book is it's the Word of God. Now you have to understand, God wrote it. It's a book that's alive. And then that verse says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful." Hey, this is a powerful book. It's very powerful. There's nothing more powerful than this book. To me, an atom bomb is like a tiny firecracker compared to the power that's in God's Word. It's the greatest power in the universe. It can stop the sun. It can start the stars. God's Word is a powerful book. So when we ask ourselves, how in the world does God's Word, where does it get the potential to be able to stop the sun or cause an earthquake? Well, you have to understand, it's alive. It's a real book. It is written by God Himself. See, God's Word is eternal. The Bible says in John 6:68, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You say the word eternal, that means it always has been. And it always will be. It's the always book. It is history's history book. It's the forever book. It was around before anything else was around. So boy, when you get to talking about God's Word, what are we talking about? We're talking about the book God wrote. We're talking about a book that's alive. We're talking about a book that is the powerhouse of all powerhouses. We're talking about the book that's been around forever and will be around forever. It has no beginning and it has no ending. But wait, not only that. The Bible says His book is an inspired book. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." You see, when we say, what's that word inspiration mean? It means it's God-breathed. It came out of the mouth of God. His breath brought it into existence. This book is not a man-breathed book. This book is a God-breathed book. So when we start talking about God's ability to use His Word to change things, and He said, "I'll use my Word to do it," He means the book I wrote. He means the book that's alive. He means the book that's powerful. He means the book that always has been and always will be. He means the book that He breathed. But wait, He then said, "I'll inspire all of that. I'll preserve all that was inspired." It says in Psalm 12:7, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." God said, "I don't want there to be a Bible just way back in David's day or in Abraham's day. I want there to be a Bible in your day." In 2015, God wanted to preserve this thing. This what? This book that He wrote, this powerful book, with its eternal status, with its inspiration. God wants to make sure that His Word is available to this generation as well. I have to tell you this. I went to Bible college, tried to keep it from messing me up. And while I was there, I remember my pastor said that while he was in Bible college himself, he said he had a professor in his Bible college get up and in a classroom cause doubt on the Word of God. Now, to me, that sounds ridiculous. Why would you be a professor in a Bible college then stand up and cause your students to doubt the validity of the Bible? And so my pastor said, what I did was he got me wondering about the Bible. He said, so what I decided to do, he said, I decided I would read the Bible on my knees from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. I wasn't going to let anybody tell me anything. I would just go to God for myself, and I wanted to know, is this truly what it says it is? Is this God's Word? And let me tell you something. You folks got a gift of a book today that I wrote called What the Bible Says About the Bible. You know what everybody else says about the Bible is all second place. What God said about the Bible is most important. You've heard a lot of people say a lot of things, but what's most important is what does God say? Well, I got to wondering about the Bible. I'd gone off to Bible college, and they were having a fuss about the Bible, and the Bible this and the Bible that, and you know what I did? I remember what my old pastor did when he was in Bible college. He got on his knees. He read the Bible from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. He said, I'll let God talk to me about His book. I'm not going to let anybody else, and when I'm done, I want to know what I believe about this book. And there I was. I was a freshman in Bible college, and somebody had cast some doubt on the Bible. You know what I just decided to do. I thought, I'm going to do exactly what my old preacher did. While I was in Bible college as a freshman, I started reading my Bible through on my knees. The book of Genesis, the Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There are 66 books in the Bible. It took me a long time, but I read every word in this book from Genesis all the way through the last word in the book of Revelation. I read it while I was on my knees. And you want to know something? When I got completely done, I stood up, I picked up my Bible, and I said this. This is a book that God wrote. This is a powerful book. This is the most powerful book in the universe. It is inspired. It is preserved. I am never going to doubt it. I'm never going to let anybody convince me of anything else. This is God's Word. And I have never doubted it since. And you say, well, I doubt it. Then I challenge you. Read it all the way through on your knees, talking to nobody but God about it. And you probably don't have the character to do that, so you have to go on with your own opinion or your own philosophy. But before you ever cast shadow on the book that my God wrote, you read it on your knees, and you read every word of it, all 66 books, the whole thing, then you come back and tell me what you think. You've been tampered with by some human being, somebody you watched on television, or that you heard on the radio, or some book that you read written by a man. Well, I read the book written by a God. I read the book that God wrote, and I'm just here to tell you, this is God's Word. Amen. And it changes things. It changes nature. You and I have seen it, but not only that. It not only changes nature, it changes people. I seen it changing people. And you say, well, where does that take place? So that's not hard. Everywhere. Everywhere, anywhere. Jonah's life was changed in the cold waters of a sea in a whale's belly. Zacchaeus' life was changed up a tree. The psalmist's life was changed when he was down in a valley. Matthew's life was changed at work at the IRS sitting at a desk. Mary's life was changed in a manger when Jesus was born. Saul's life was changed on a road. Balaam's life was changed on the back of a donkey. Daniel's life was changed in a lion's den. Sarah's life in the Old Testament was changed in a tent. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's lives were changed in a real hot situation, in a burning fiery furnace. Job's life was changed in an ash heap while his body was covered with boils. The thief on the cross, his life was changed while he hung on a cross right beside Jesus Christ. Peter's life was changed on the seashore. Lazarus's life was changed at his own funeral. The maniac of Gadara was changed in a cemetery. Caleb was changed on a mountain. Gideon was changed while he was in a field near a piece of farm equipment. Jeremiah's life was changed in a dungeon. David's life was changed in a pasture. Hey, Samson's life was changed in a coliseum. Moses' life was changed on the backside of the desert. Hey, there's no place that God's Word can't get. There's nobody that God can't change. There's nothing that God can't do. I'm getting so tired of people trying to explain away the mighty power of God. I'm not going to get caught up in this trash of letting the government be bigger than God. I'm not going to give up on the fact that there is a God. He wrote a book. He's the God of the universe. And though everybody might want to do away with the old time religion, God's still alive. Jesus is still real. The Bible's still God's book. God can still change life. People say, you can't have revival in this day and age. You're living in the last times. Fooey on that. You go ahead and believe that. But the Bible says where sin did abound, did grace much more abound. That means if we will pay the price and do what we're supposed to do, get connected to this book, believe the old time religion, God can still change lives. God can still bring revival. I look at the Syrophoenician woman. Her life was changed. I look at the life of a woman at a well and Elisha's life and a lame man's life. I watched them get changed over and over again. The other day, I heard David Steve's wife was worried about him playing golf on Sunday, and she searched through the Bible for direction because she believes the Bible. She couldn't find anything about him playing golf on Sunday. Finally, she went to Preacher Croom and said, Preacher, is it a sin for David to play golf on Sunday? Brother Croom said, it's not a sin, but the way David plays, it's surely a crime. Use the Bible for everything, I tell you. Listen, folks, God wrote a book. And that book has changed nature. And that book changed many people through the Bible. And how did it change it? It changes because it's God's Word. It changes because it's alive. It changes us because it's powerful. It's eternal. It always has been. It was breathed or inspired and is preserved, and God gave it to us. And He can change man anywhere. Whose life could be changed by this powerful book? Anyone's who will let it. Now, God can change the life of a poor person. God's Word can change the life of a rich person. God's Word can change the life of the educated. God's Word can change the life of the uneducated. God's Word can change a tax collector. God's Word can change a fisherman. God's Word can change a lost man. Hey, God's Word can change a saved man. God's Word can change a married man. God's Word can change a single man. According to the Bible, God's Word can change a tent maker. God's Word can change a grandma or a grandpa or a married woman or a single woman. See, this book knows no boundaries. You say, could the book change me? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the book could change you too. God's Word can... Hey, His Word can change a divorcee. God's Word can change a thief. God's Word can change a politician. I'm sorry, I just said that. God's Word can change a doctor. God's Word can change a teenager. God's Word can change a witch. God's Word can change a sodomite. God's Word can change a king. God's Word can change a slave. You know, God's Word can change red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in His sight. There's not a human on the face of this earth that this book, if it got involved in their life, that it could not make an eternal difference. God's Word can change a sick man, a healthy man, a drunkard, a proud man, a humble man. God's Word can change a jailer. God's Word can change a drug addict. God's Word can change a lawyer or a carpenter or a housewife or a rebel or a liar or a plumber or a nurse or a truck driver or a soldier. The Word that God wrote, He wrote it to change things, and He changes nature at His will. And then He comes along and He said, my greatest desire is that this book be used to help mankind and to change the lives of people. When does He do it? At all times. All the time. Philippian jailer's life was changed at midnight. Mary's life was changed early in the morning when she ran to an empty tomb the day of the resurrection. Elijah's life was changed at noontime as he called fire from the sky. Martha's life was changed at supper time. Matthew's life was changed at work time. Ruth's life was changed at harvest time. Enoch's life was changed at Bible time. Timothy's life was changed at church time. A blind man's life was changed at a difficult time. A bride's life was changed at wedding time. A man's life was ruined at that wedding. I'm sorry, that's not in here. Hey, a soldier's life was changed at wartime. Lazarus's life was changed at funeral time. 3,000 people, their lives were changed at Pentecost at preaching time. A thief's life was changed at punishment time. A mother's life was changed at delivery time. You look through the Bible, hey, it didn't matter if it was midnight or early in the morning, in the afternoon. It didn't matter if it was raining or snowing. It didn't matter if the wind was blowing or it was calm. God's Word was changing things, changing people, changing lives. There was no mess that was bigger than God. There was no person that could keep God from... Hey, that look, God, if God wants to change something, He can do it. Well, wait a minute. Is there a possibility there are times when it won't make an impact? Well, did you know this? Did you know that God's Word can't change you if you don't come to church to hear it? I guess there are certain limitations. Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That word assembling is a Greek word. It is the word ekklesia. The word ekklesia means churching. We're not to forsake the churching of ourselves together. There are people that will not be changed as a result of this sermon because they stayed home and they didn't come to church to hear the sermon. Such a powerful word. It's able to do all that. But wait, it has certain limitations. If you won't come to church to hear it preached, there's a certain limitation to what that particular sermon could do for you. Wait, if we don't bring people to hear it, then we limit it. The Bible says in Luke 14:23, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. Let me tell you something, folks. You and I ought to show up at church where we can hear God's Word. Why? It changes things. Then we ought to go get other people and bring them in. Why? Because if we get them in under the preaching of the Word of God, it can change them. You really love somebody, there are a lot of things you can do for them, but I can't think of anything that you can do greater for them than get them to the Word of God. Bring them to church. Did you know God's Word has a certain limitation in the fact that if God says you ought to do something that's good for your life and then you won't obey it? Galatians 5:7 says, "You did run well, who did hinder you, that you should not obey the truth." God's Word can change your life if you'll do what God said about His Word. Could man restrain the Word of God? Well, God won't make you do what He says in His Word. You have to choose to do it. So suddenly, this powerful Word, if you don't come here and preach, you miss it. If you don't get people in under the preaching, they miss it. If you hear it and you sit there and you play all religious and everything and bring your Bible to church and then everything that's preached, you just listen, but you don't let it change your life, then I guess that doesn't mean God's Word is weak. It means you are weak because you didn't let it change you. Did you know you ought to read your Bible? You ought to read your Bible. The Bible says in Matthew 6:11, "Give us this day our daily bread." God's Word. When does it not change lives? Well, it doesn't change lives when you don't come to church to hear it. It doesn't change lives when we don't get people in to hear it. It won't change lives when you won't obey what you heard. And it won't change lives if you won't take the time to read it. You know, there are people, and look right this way, there are people in this room. You're desperate. You'd love to have your life changed. You'd love to have a happier life, a better marriage, a better family situation. There are so many things you'd like to have. Can I tell you something? You ought to get into your Bible, the book that God wrote, the book that God's been using to change lives throughout all eternity, and you ought to read it. Read the book God wrote. There are people in here you need to get your face out of Facebook and your face back in God's book to where you could have your life changed. It's a sad thing. If this book is everything that God said it is, and it is, there are some of you, you read more trash than you read of the Word of God. You say, "You're making me feel bad." Take it up with God. He's the one that wrote the book. It's a pure book. And He told us we're to get our nose into this book. Hey, when you don't listen to what's preached, you know, the Bible says this. It says in Acts 28:27, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing." Now, I realize there are all sorts of preachers out there, and there are different preachers that preach in different styles. But I'll tell you something. You have to work at being a pastor today. Everybody is so spoiled on so many things. You stand up and you preach. You better have a certain amount of animation to you. You better be able to keep people's attention. You got to dance around and do the jig and tell the joke and make everybody laugh and make everybody cry. Do everything you can to keep their attention. You want to know why? Because people really don't have a whole lot of respect for the Word of God anymore. They don't come to church just to hear the Word of God. They came to church to be entertained. And just so you know, we'll do what we can to keep you entertained. I'll get to talking real soft like this because you'll listen real well, and then all of a sudden I'll say, "Wake up and pay attention up here." You say, "What for?" I'll do what I can. I'll make the volume go up and the volume go down, and I can move to this side of the pulpit, and I can move to that side of the pulpit, and I can do one of these things, but I am going to tell you all something. You have a Bible. You're in church. You ought to listen to everything that God said. You ought to be letting God change your life. Hey, when we look at what the Word of God has done, God spoke the universe into existence, it would make sense that you and I would take the time to show up at God's church to hear God's man preach God's Word, and that we would take it seriously and let it change our lives. The number of people that walk into church and walk out, not a thing changed about them other than they feel like they clocked in and put their time in, that's not what it's really all about. We didn't come here to be entertained. We came here to be changed. Changed. You're to be changed as a result of God's Word. And if you don't get changed as a result of God's Word, it's not God's fault. It's not the book's fault. And so you know, you might want to blame the preacher. But really what it all boils down to, it's your fault. And if you don't go to church, if you don't go to a church where they preach the Word of God, then go to one. Yeah, I'm not trying to get you to join mine. I'm just telling you, you better find a place where this book is uplifted. You better find a place that's going to tell you the difference between right and wrong, not based on the preacher's opinion, but based on the Bible's opinion. You better find a place like that. Why? God's Word changes lives. This is a powerful book. The very first Sunday in our church, some of you were here, I preached for 45 straight minutes on the subject of Jesus Christ. I just talked about Him from every angle I could. Today's our grand opening Sunday. I just want to take a little time to talk about God's Word, which is in essence Jesus Christ. I have no remorse, no regrets. I happen to believe this is the only book that God wrote. You say, Pastor Owens, what's the answer for America? Right there. What's the answer for our economy? What's the answer for our family? That book. That book. You still believe that way? You can go to the bank on it. God's Word is still valid today. It's inspired. It's preserved. It's eternal. He wrote it. And He wrote it to change a lot of things. But ultimately, He wanted it to change your life, and He wanted it to change mine. And I can tell you, He changed my life. I am not what this world would have had me to be. Oh, I'm not everything I ought to be, but I am far from what I could have been without this book. And today I just want to exalt the Word of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to recommend to you salvation. Everybody's a sinner, and there's a penalty for that sin, and Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And He said to us, if we would accept the gift of salvation, He paid for salvation. We accept the gift. If you have never accepted the gift of salvation by asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, you need to attend to that. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor Owens, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. I do not know I'm born again. Would you raise your hand and say, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know I'm born again. Good. Someone else, you say, I don't know that I'm saved. Who here would say, Preacher, I'm saved. I'll not lie in church. I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know it for a fact. Would you raise your hand so that God could see it? I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know I'm saved. You may put your hands down. In my heart, I want to ask this question. I want to ask how many of you have a right relationship with the Word of God, but I'm not going to ask that. But just let me say to you, God wrote a book. We're to read it. We're to show up in church where we can hear it preached. And if you don't go to a church that preaches it, you need to get in one. You need to get in one. Because there's nothing more important than the Word of God. It's what will keep you right. It'll help you stay right. It'll save you. It'll change your life. And you need to be under the kind of preaching that changes lives, not just entertains. Preaching that changes lives from the Word of God. Last question. Who here would say, Preacher, today in this service, in what I've heard, God has spoken to my heart about something. He has spoken to my heart about something. Would you raise your hand and say, there's something He's spoken to me about. Amen. Lots of hands, many hands. You may put those hands down. We're going to have a time of altar call. I'm going to ask the pianist at this time to begin to play. I want you to stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you need to be saved, you come. If you need to come to this altar, maybe you haven't been reading your Bible. Maybe you haven't been in church like you ought to be. You come and you use this altar. You stop and realize what God does and the things that God changes through His Word. And thank God for it. If you've been saved and baptized and you need to join fellowship with this church, you come and we'll help you to join. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're not saved, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, you come. One more time through the song. The altar is still open. There are people still here praying. The altar is still open. If you need to come, you're welcome to come. Thank you, Sarah. Folks, have a seat.